Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, hello, how you guys doing? This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and much love, and it is Friday, and guys, whoa, my goodness gracious, I gotta tell you, I am exhausted from trying to get better. You know, I have COVID again, and today is really my last day, supposedly. I guess it just depends on the virus. That I have to be isolated. But once the isolation period, you know, is over, I still have to wear a mask for 5 days. But I cannot be around people if I still have a fever. So the thing is that, you know, 5 days will start if I don't have a fever. So I've been trying to monitor that and figure that all out. And it's been kind of crazy. It's been a little crazy. Because my wife got it as well from me. We were performing. I was playing for these children. This is an amazing thing my church does. And you have the children from the different regions come around. And they spend the whole weekend together just learning and figuring out who God is. And, you know, and we had service Friday night, Saturday morning. They had breakfast, and I wanted to go have breakfast with them. and then we played that evening, Saturday evening, and they had dinner. It was great. At lunch, they have all kind of stuff that, you know, seemed normal. But when it's a whole group of them, people, you know, the mothers, the parents, and people, they just show up and they just start blessing the children, and it's like, woo, I wanna hang out with them. But I didn't, you know, the youth pastor and all the other pastors that were supposed to be there, you know, you just kind of get out the way and stuff. But I just love the atmosphere and how much fun it is, because I've done it for many years with the kids in California. And so this was the first experience I had in Texas doing this, and it was great. And so then we got together in that evening, Saturday evening, and played again for the kids. And then Monday morning, we got together again and played for the kids, and they were eating again, having a nice breakfast. I was like, man. And so, but anyway, then Monday, I started feeling a little weird, even though I was so excited. And I just didn't want the devil to rain on my parade, man, because the kids were just it was just a wonderful thing to watch them as they were going through what they were going through and how they were being blessed by, you know, all of the people from First Baptist Church, how they just loved on them and took care of them. It was just amazing. And then by Monday morning when I was hanging out at the church, just, you know, trying to celebrate and tell people how wonderful it was, right after I left the church, I was really just not well. And so I thought maybe I'm catching a cold. I get a cold once a year, you know. And so I thought maybe I'm catching a cold. But it was a little bit more than that. I decided to go to the doctor, which was around the corner from my church. So I went to the doctor, and they said, yes, you have COVID. So I'm like, whoa, COVID it is. So there you go. I got COVID. And last time I had COVID, I had it twice in 2020. And now this is the first time I've had it since then, so that's like, 3 years. And so here we go again. And each time that I have it, or I've had it, it's like a cold. It's nothing more than a cold. But it's still scary because you're like, oh, COVID? Oh, you know, we know we lost a lot of people, unfortunately, from this disease, you know, from this virus. And so, but I just want to let you know that I feel better. That's why I decided, okay, I'm going to try to do my show. Everybody else has been doing their shows on Solar Records Radio, but I haven't, because I didn't even want to come into the studio at all. And so I'm here. And hey, everybody, much love. God bless all my brothers and sisters. I see you guys. Thank you so much for everything. And you know, I think the thing that really blessed me the most was that when my wife got sick, I had to make sure she was okay, and I kind of forgot about me. I wasn't thinking about what I was going through. I was just making sure she's okay. She's a little bit older, and she's, you know, her immune system was already compromised, so I just had to make sure she was okay. And I was so focused on making sure she was okay, I forgot about my stuff. So, but anyway, I'm feeling better. I'm ready to so we'll see what happens. I'm not sure if I'm going to play tomorrow, but I'll be able to. So, but I'll definitely be playing on Sunday. So anyway, so today is Friday, and we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. And may God bless you guys. God bless you. This is good. So what we do every Friday is just a reminder of, you know, what we did and what happened at Solar. I come from Philadelphia. My home, my place of love and happiness is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up on a street called Marston Street in North Philly, and And there's a lot of amazing musicians in Philadelphia. I mean, all over Philly. And Breakwater is one of the biggest name bands that were, you know, that's still around, actually. And so much love to the to them. And but I grew up with these guys, but I was always playing jazz. And so for some reason, I wanted to play something. I wanted to see why everybody was into this R&B thing. And so I ended up starting to play R&B. And before I knew it, man, oh, man, I enjoyed it. And I thought that it was, I thought R&B was kind of easy, but it wasn't easy because R&B really required the pocket. It required drive. It required a feel. It required, you know, patience. And so it just, it was a lot of energy that I wasn't used to having to come out of me simultaneously for the first time. I mean, when I was doing the progressive jazz stuff, with Ruben, we were just like, it was just the Stanley Clarke stuff I got used to. We were into Return to Forever and Weather Report and playing all this crazy stuff and going at it. And that was great, and it was challenging, and it was amazing. But when I went over to R&B, my assumption was just simple, easy 2-4, 2-4, but there's way more than 2-4, baby, way more. But once I started doing it, I started feeling it, I started loving it, and I started seeing why other people loved it and felt it and enjoyed it. And so I developed a love for it. And I got to tell you, as a drummer playing in any group, any bands, we have a responsibility, you know, and that pocket is what they look for. They want you to hold the groove. They want you to make sure that you are driving the train, you know, not showing off and, you know, trying to get attention, but just holding the pocket so everybody can do their part so we could all have a good time. And so I learned that, and it took a while. Leon Silvers really molded me into becoming that pocket drummer. I'm grateful for Leon Silvers once I made it to Los Angeles and went out and auditioned for Dynasty in 1979 and was really blessed to be able to play on the first Golden Platinum records that came out of Solar, second time around being the first song I recorded. And then And the Beat Goes On for the Whispers was the second song I recorded. And it was just on and on, and we just kept on doing this. And the more I did it, the more responsible I felt for each time I went in there. It was like it was getting harder, not in the sense of playing part was getting harder, but I needed to deliver the goods again and again and again each time. And so I wanted to bring something different. I didn't want to play the same feel. I wanted to always add something and say, I'm getting better and better. And the music was getting better and better because we all were learning. We were all learning from each other. We were going there. We were getting it done. And Leon Silvers and Dick Griffey really set that up for us to be able to go into Studio Masters on Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills and really focused on getting the job done. Now, don't remember, I'm just a small part of what's happening. I'm just a drummer, right? But Leon had to carry the whole thing. I mean, he was the producer, the writer, the facilitator. I mean, he was making decisions that were going to be history. And so he had a lot on his plate. So in my heart of hearts, I just wanted to support him and be there. So when he told me what he needed me to do, I took it very serious. I was very responsible in doing my part and making sure he did not have to worry about the drums, even though he would. But I just do my part. And so we all, Kevin Spencer, Ricky Smith, Steve Shockley, Richard Randolph, Dana Myers, all the guys, we all would get together and just make sure that we were really focused on just getting this stuff done. And I probably missed out on a couple of names, but we were just every day we were getting together, developing the sound of Los Angeles Records, making it do something, making something happen with this great opportunity that Dick Griffey gave all of us. Because like I've said to you guys, we were all living inside of the dream of Mr. Dick Griffey. This was a dream that he had, and we were blessed to be a part of it. And Leon was our leader, and man, did he lead us. What an amazing opportunity it was to be able to work with you guys. I'm talking to my friends that are, I see some of them here, but much love to them and the engineers and stuff. Oh, man, just everybody plays such an important role. John Woods, his dad, owned Studio Masters, and John and Larry Woods, they were there all the time. We had the studio blocked out 24/7 for months and months at a time, like a year or so, and it was just crazy. And we were always recording and always being diligent and doing what we had to do for Mr. Griffey to do what he needed to do. And so I just want to say thank you, Mr. Griffey. Thank you so much for blessing us and helping us to establish our careers. Literally, you did that. And so to Leon Silvers for being a wonderful leader, making things happen for all of us, giving us all an opportunity. And so anyway, today, so I'm celebrating that. I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you to everybody that loved what we did as well. I mean, that was fun, and it was good, and it was a blessing. And so that's why every Friday I sit here and just say, listen, I just want y'all to remember something really happened. And when this company came out and started doing what it did, it really changed the direction of music. Because remember, we were coming off of disco, right, in the late 70s. The disco era was just doing its thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have people, groups like Chic came out, and they had the disco thing too, but they started merging as well. And then we started with And the Beat Goes On, really like, whoa, changed the direction. It was like it was more of a classy funk, right? And so, and still had that four in the floor drive, but it was just something different. And all of a sudden you could hear the influence, the power of the influence, where other people started kind of wanting to have songs similar to that. And so we just kept going and kept growing and kept loving on each other and kept being blessed by you guys that were buying it and loved it. And then we were able to go on the road after, you know, being in the studio for a couple of years, it seemed like, just recording and recording and recording. Then we did the Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, which was absolutely amazing. And you get to be on there with all the people that you've been recording and working with and in the studio. Now you get to see them live. We get to hang out and go and do things together and meet the fans, the people who love the artists that we worked with, and they love the music that they heard. And so you get to hang out with them. And for me, I was only in my early 20s. I was just a kid, you know. And so Leon Silvers was my big brother at that point. I mean, I was following everything he was telling me to do. Do this, and we're going to do this, and you do this, and then we're going to do that. And all those things did happen. And so it was like, yes, this is working. What a beautiful miracle. What a blessing it was for us. And we're so grateful that you guys loved it too. And so with that being said, you know, guys, I just want to, you know, play some of that music for you guys. I started off the show with my song that I wrote, Does That Ring a Bell for Dynasty? And I'm gonna play more songs and stuff. But I just wanted to let you guys know, my friends here on Facebook, you know, it's kind of crazy, the COVID thing, when they first tell you, because you think, uh-oh, something wrong, and And but you just got to do what you got to do to take care of yourself. And so I'm just glad that I'm getting better. Got to watch to make sure you keep your temperature together. And so, but thank God we got past the fever part. And so now it's just we're coughing. You know, we know what like what colds are like and stuff. So, but anyway, I can't really see because I have you in a small screen. And so, to everybody that's saying whatever you're saying, much love and God bless you and thank you so much. And thanks to all the people for your wishes and stuff. To get well wishes, really appreciate that. I'm glad that we can be a community that we can love each other instead of hating on each other, because we see what's on the news all the time. People going around shooting, killing each other and beating each other. It's just terrible. We need good news, and we can create the good news. And so let's continue to do that for each other and love on each other and be a blessing to one another. We got this other stuff that's happening when people are just shooting and hurting one another is just disgusting. It's really sad. I heard today that a young lady fell off a bridge and died today. And I don't know how she ended up where she did, but she was young and her mom found her tracking her through her cell phone. And that's a terrible way to find your child. So we just want to, try to be a blessing to one each other because, see, listen, age is nothing but a number. And the reason that is because what's the most important date is the day that we leave here. So you can be 20, but your expiration date is 30. You're kind of old because you only got a few years left. Or you can be 50. Expiration date is not until 100. You're young. So it doesn't really matter. Because we don't know when our expiration date is. So age is not a factor. What is a factor is that we pay attention to who we are and what we're doing, how we are being a blessing to one another and to our family. What kind of legacy can we leave? How can we make a difference? Oh, man, how can we? So that's up to you. Everybody has a choice. And so I'm just asking you to make that choice, make a commitment. You know, I a lot of times we'll say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But we it's hard for us to stick with it. Like, you know, the beginning of the year, New Year's resolution and stuff. We were supposed to do this, supposed to work out and everything. And we didn't do that. Right. And so it's a very, a hard thing to make a commitment. But let me tell you about a full commitment. So there was this chicken and a pig walking down the street. And so the chicken and the what? Pig, and the chicken sees this the pig, and the chicken says to the pig, "Hey, look at this guy, he's homeless. We need to help him out." And the pig goes, "Yeah, what do you think we should do?" And the chicken says, "Hey, why don't we get him a bacon and egg sandwich?" And the pig looks at the chicken and says, "That's easy for you to say. That's a full commitment on my part." And so I have to make a full commitment, you know? And so, I mean, it's important that we remember, you know, like when we want to do something, we need to make a full commitment. We need to put it all in. Jesus did that. He died on the cross for us. He didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. So the least thing we could do is love each other as he loved us. Right? That's it's the least thing I'm asking us to do. Anyway, all right, guys. So I'm going to get it. Don Fleming, are you there?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at the chicken, the bacon egg sandwich thing. That, you know.
Yeah, full commitment, my brother. Big, like, I know. I don't know. That's something to think about. So anyway, John,
how are you? No, the question is, how are you? I'm good, though. But how are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, I'm doing this FaceTime Live thing at the same time here with you, so I want to let you go ahead on it. Since you're in the system, you're going to have to play music for me just so I can change, because I got to, you know, change things around so I can get it back into that. But much love, man, and thanks for being here. He's my brother, and I love him very much, and we've done so many shows together, and so Don is co-hosting here with me today on Solar Records Radio. How's it going, man?
It's good, man. We had a little rain this morning, kind of slept through it, but I am up, and I am hanging out with you on a now beautiful Friday afternoon. A little overcast, but it's all right. Hopefully you'll get out of your situation. Of course, man, I was praying for you and Gayla, and just wanted to let you know, like I said, all the listeners, I'm sure the listeners agree, that we're all with you, and you sound good, brother. You sound good.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you so much. My voice is heavy. My voice is heavy. I feel it. So, but hey, man, start the show off with some music. I started off with Dynasty. Does that ring a bell? As a matter of fact, Dynasty Kemp, if you guys believe it or not, we do have a new song that just came out. It was on our single. It was on our single, and we released Z Records overseas. Did a remix of the B-side of our single, here we go. We got another song coming out.
Well, check it out. Check it out. We're going to do that after the break. Let's go ahead and start off this block, little baby face. I love you, babe. You guys keep it locked, because right now we're celebrating the legacy of Solar. Keep it right here.
Amen.
Oh,
Wow. So that's just a little Solar mix that we got going here on Solar Records Radio. And man, oh man, I tell you guys, I still can feel this thing in my throat. God, it's driving me crazy. But this is Wardell Posh and Don Fleming for Solar Records Radio.
I'm having trouble. Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm having trouble with my my mixer here. I don't know what's going on with it.
Oh, just once you refresh it. Did you try to refresh?
I'm going to try it right now. Go on and talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, Eddie, thanks for joining us. Anyway, so guys, listen, I want to play some stuff that, you know, like this here happened after like the big hit for Solar, like when we came in Solar exploded. That was awesome, and it was just a great time, and I was like, wow, you know, when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, that was really good. We did a good job and stuff. But then I went back and I started listening to like the late stuff that we did at the very end before Solar really kind of shut down and stuff. And so this song right here is a song that I've kind of fallen in love with by The Whispers. And it's really, they use the drum machine. I wish I played drums on it because it's a beautiful song. It's called On Impact. And Pamela Phillips Olan wrote the lyrics to this. I'm not sure who wrote the music, but man, Leon, you should call me, man. I wanted to play drums. When I hear this, I just really want to play drums on this song. But this was at the very end as we were, you know, making our, departure from Solar. And I was on my way to A&M Records. And I, on this same album, have a song too that, you know, I didn't play drums on. I put a drum machine on, but I did all the overdubs. And so it's like, you know, you were getting, like, technology was taking us someplace. And it was like, why do we let technology control us to the point where you're not even playing your own instrument? That's kind of scary, right? It's like, wait, what are you doing? That's what you do. I'm a producer. I'm a drummer. You know, and a writer, put the drums on there, dude. And so, but I was just got caught up in technology and just, you know, I put the song together and it was sounding good and everybody liked it. Let's just record the vocals and be done. And that was it. That's how it happened and stuff. So, but this song, I just love the melody in it. I love the way that The Whispers, I always love Scotty's. There's something about his voice that just got that thing, man. He has that thing like Jody Watley. There's something in her voice that she just got that thing. And so, go ahead.
Can I ask a weird question? And of course, it's kind of obvious for me as a fan, but since you was there, you were ground zero at Solar. What's the difference between Walter and Scotty's voice? What was the distinctions?
Well, this is the thing. Everything is the same with them, right? I mean, when you look at it, right? They look the same. They were born on the same day, you know, same genes. They are twins, but they don't sing the same. Scotty had a stronger voice than Walter. So, you know, it was designed the way that it was designed. Now Walter has been emulating Scotty for so long that he sounds just like Scotty now. But
you know what's crazy? The crazy part of it is when you look at the history, and of course, correct me if I'm wrong, Walter was the one who, you know, of course, back in the day, twins couldn't serve in the military. It was always the older one. So when Walter left, that gave Scotty kind of that, you know, that development within himself, you know, as far as his singing and his you know, coming up towards his, you know, his professional tone and things like that. And I guess in a way, Walter had to play catch up once he got out the service. So, I mean, there's so many layers there. Again, that gave Scotty so much time for his voice development and things like that. And, of course, once Walter was away and once Walter came back, you know, they kind of, you know, Walter had to play catch up. So, it's a great story, you know, to hear when they talk about it. Again, I might be wrong on some elements, but that's from what I remember when they tell the story. So,
yeah, it's a like you can have twins, you can have Siamese twins. I mean, you can be exactly everything the same, but if you don't put in the same amount of time into developing yourself, one is going to be better than the other. Right. Mm. And so and you know, I mean, just say it, what if one decided I'm going to be a drummer and I'm going to be a bass player, and, you know, and they put their time in, they're really good at playing bass and he's really good at playing at drums. And so, you know, or
mastering the craft.
Yeah, but you have to put the time in to make it work. If you don't, it's not going to be there. You can't just say, like my daughter, I'm sorry, Ariel. She used to tell, I want to be a guitar player. And then I bought her the guitar, the amp, got her lessons, everything. But she didn't practice. She just thought it would just happen. She thought it was supposed to just happen. And she was into the look. She got the gloves and everything. She got the look down. But she wasn't practicing. So I was like, Ariel, you know, we're paying for lessons, but you're not really, your heart's not in it, sweetheart. If you want to be good, you got to work for it. It's not going to just happen. And so she just eventually realized that, you know, it wasn't in her heart. It was just a one of those things that, like, I want to do it. I want to be a star, and, you know, but there's a lot of work coming that you got to put in. And she wasn't willing to put that in. So now she's about to get a master's degree in science. So she's doing something that's where she, you know, you got to follow your thing, whatever you are. Now, as far as Walter and Scotty is concerned, Walter still with the best double for Scotty, because, you know, when we're in the studio and we record, you usually double the voice to try to make it sound richer. Well, Walter was that for Scotty live. So when they're singing, Walter's singing the same thing Scotty's singing. And he's been doing that for so long that now he sounds just like Scotty. And so that it's what a blessing it is for them to have each other and love on each other the way they do. It's just amazing. And so, God forbid, you know, when they separate. But as long as they're here, they're blessing us, and I'm so happy for them. All right. Yeah. So, did you get your iPad working now?
It's working.
Okay.
It's working, my brother.
Okay. So let me play this song. I'll start the block off, and then you see if you can play something after that. Okay.
Okay. That'll work.
All right, so this is the song I was telling you guys about, The Whispers. It's called On Impact, and it's just, to me, I think this was closer to the end of the Solar era, but it was just an amazing song to me. So, and The Whispers always sound good. So here we go on Solar Records Radio, Don Fleming and Wardell Potts Jr. We'll be back. Uh-oh.
I'm not afraid to die. We'll be right back.
course, you know it's Friday. You know what that means. We are celebrating the legacy of Solar Records. Of course, not quite Solar. That was from the, what was it, from the 3 album from SOS Band from 1982. That is High Hopes, of course, produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Of course, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, when they left Minneapolis, when Prince fired them, they, one of the first things they did was come to Solar under the expertise of the man himself, Mr. Leon Silvers. And, of course, that song was one of the first songs that they produced. You can hear a little bit of that Solar effect on that song, too, by the way. Can you, Wardell?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. That was where we were going. I mean, it was getting funkier and funkier as we were getting more and more confident in our sound. And it's just, you know, I want to play something else that came out of that same time as well, after you finished, you know, sharing your block and stuff. But, yeah, you're right. That
yeah,
was,
and of course, before that, let me do, before that, I played from the Look album, of course, Shalimar, Dead Giveaway. That was like the last music video that Jody, Jeffrey, and Howard did together. Well, music video-wise, for all those who don't know, they came back in 96 to collaborate on a Babyface song, actually The Lover in You, on his album in 96, along with LL Cool J. It's a nice video. They all came back together there. I think they were on the Palisades and think near the Santa Monica Pier or whatever. So, but yeah, that was really like the last time Jody, Jeffrey, and Howard sung together, you know, technically, of course, for a Babyface song. But yeah, the Look album, of course, that last album from that famous nucleus of Shalimar, that look at the crazy thing, the first song that you played by the Whispers, I wanted to go ahead and match that energy, because even at that time, you had a lot of that new wave sound that was kind of going in, you know, kind of matriculating into R&B. And of course, you know, you had like music from like The Clash and Gary Numan and Devo. You hear all of that early rock, new wave type music that was kind of going into R&B. R&B kind of had it all along in a way, but you can definitely hear it in those early elements of the early 80s of R&B music. And I wanted to match that when you were talking about the Whispers, when you played it in the first song of the segment. So I just wanted to go ahead and ask that.
Yes. Well, man, that was a great block, by the way. You did great. That was awesome.
And, thank you.
Yeah, man. I want to also give a shout-out to our listeners and stuff. And Linda Martin. What's up, Linda? She's one of our listeners, and she's always supportive. And so thank you, Linda. She's always on our page doing things. And we appreciate you, sweetheart. We appreciate your love. And we appreciate you loving music the way that you do, and keep on doing your thing. And thanks for sharing and hanging out with us here at Solar Records Radio. I want to give a shout out to Greg and Phil are on their way back from Australia. Safe travels, my brothers. You know, safe travels. And you know, that 14-hour flight from, you know, from there all the way to Los Angeles is just too much for me. And then another 12 hours or 11 hours to get to London. Ooh, Lord. I would be so drained by the time I get there, you know. And like I told you earlier, they just need to give me a shot, put me to sleep, and I'll wake up when I get there. That's just too much. But, you know, I used to travel like that when I was younger, you know, on the road. We were flying all over the place. But you know, now that I'm older, I'm kind of setting my ways. I don't want to have to deal with all the craziness. And, but aren't you going to Los Angeles soon? Are you still going out there?
I will be there in July, as a matter of fact. I will be there to hang out with family. And, I just miss L.A. So you never know. as far as my future endeavors and things like that. But it kind of led. I lived out there for a couple of years, and you know, I came back to finish school, and you know, I got married, and then life happened. And one of those things was just like, well, I was gonna. Yeah, I'll go back and visit every chance I get, but it's one of those things that you're really contemplating on wanting to move back. And again, there are factors, the cost of living, things like that and whatnot, but it was really heavy on my mind. And plus, you know, my dad, you know, I lost my mom a couple of years ago, and, you know, my dad is out there. You know, my dad's in his 80s, crazy thing about that is he's healthier than all of his kids. So, I mean, he's out there, I mean, like a spring chicken, but sharp as a tack.
That's
you know.
Cool.
So
is he tall? Is your dad tall?
He's a little shorter than I am.
Okay. That's tall compared to me.
He's about, I guess he's about, I guess he's about 6 feet tall.
Okay.
Joe.
Oh yeah. Okay. He's out there with my son. Yeah. Well, my boys are six. One is 6'2" and one is 6 feet. Yeah. All right. Well.
Okay.
Hey, man. Well, so if I happen to see you, because I'm going there in July, so I want to meet up with the Throwdown Brothers. Get some, you know, some love and stuff. Tina Scott and hopefully Roberta. I'll get to see Roberta and Tina out there as well from Crystal, from the group Crystal and stuff. You know, Crystal and Real to Real are, you know, they're part of the Solar family. We may have signed them to different labels because Solar was going in a different way, and they. And we had so much going on that, you know, Real to Real found a home at Arista and Crystal found a home at CBS. And so, but I just want to show you, I want to keep that, get that same kind of groove that you had going with one of the groups I just talked about. So here we go on Solar Records Radio, Don Fleming and Wardell Potts Jr. We got about another, only 48 minutes. Was I talking that long? Wow. Oh, boy. Okay. Man, I can't believe an hour has gone by already. That's crazy. Woo. All right, guys. Here we go. Solar Records Radio. We'll be right back.
my pillow and squeeze it tight. I think of you and I dream of you all of the time. What am I gonna do, baby?
I wanna win, girl.
course, it is Friday. Of course, we're celebrating the legacy of Solar Records Radio. Oh, actually, Solar Records on Solar Records Radio. Made a little faux pas there. That's what you call a faux pas. Anyway, music from Midnight Star, 1984, Curious. Had a little technical difficulties, you know, playing the song and whatnot. What did we play before that, man?
I Want Your Love. I Want Your Love. That was I Want Your Love by Jody Watley. She did a cover of a Chic song. No.
Okay.
Not Chic. Chic was the ones that did the song, but it was for I Want Your Love. Was that Sister Sledge?
No, did that was Chic.
That was Chic? Okay.
Yeah, Chic, whatever.
I know that they were Chic was producing, you know, Sister Sledge and Diana Ross and all of them at the same time, and then and themselves, all these lady voices. I you know, it was easy to get confused because it sounds like Chic, and so you got to figure out which artist is it, because
you know, even around what, you know, 79 and 80. Of course, you know, Diana Ross's Inside Out album of course, Sister Sledge. And there was a couple of other. And then, of course, Nile Rodgers went on and produced Madonna and David Bowie and all of, and Grace Jones. And of course, Bernard Edwards, of course, rest in peace to him. Just arguably one of the greatest bassists of all time, you know. His talent was just immense. But yeah, they really did. You try not to say, oh, they sound the same, but you know, when you have that whole Chic, Nile Rodgers, Bernard Edwards sound, you know, yeah, it almost kind of meshed together, you know, Sister Sledge and Diana Ross and all of these artists that were, you know, using a lot of that fundamental guitar riff that Niles always used, you know, even going into Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams, you know. So, just amazing. And Niles still out there doing it, man. I know he was sick for a second, and of course we prayed for his health. He's doing a little better. So, but yeah, that was Jody Watley, man. I loved her rendition of "I Want Your Love" by Chic. I'm sorry, I said Chic. You know, where did you start off the block with?
Real to real.
Real to real.
Can you treat me like Jesus?
Man, you know, we literally have 30 minutes left of the show. And heading down the home stretch.
Now that we're going down the stretch, I'm going to surprise Don about what we're going to be doing the next few Thursdays from here. So what we're going to be doing for the next few Thursdays, Don is the one that triggered this. He don't even know it. So starting next Thursday, we're going to play the great R&B songs with the bass players. It's about the bass players, you know, the amazing songs that these guys had did in the R&B. So you got people like Leon Silvers that played on, and the beat goes on, that played on so many great hits. Over at Motown, who do you have?
You had James Jamerson and
James,
I think Robert
Jamerson.
White.
Right. We're going to go through that, and we'll do that with the bass players, and then the following week we're going to do the drummers, the great songs that all these drummers played on and stuff that really, like, I was real fortunate that I got to play drums on so many songs for a record company. So this is the reason why that happened, because back in the day, they were careers, and now mm-hmm. we just have now it's just songs, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just streaming a song from here to there, and so I hear and with that being said, when the word streaming came up, it touches me in the wrong way, because when I heard about in the wrong way, because the writers right now are on strike, you know, for Hollywood, right? They're on strike, right? And they're on strike because they're getting paid through streaming, and it's nothing compared to what it used to be. Well, the same here for me as a songwriter. We're getting paid through streaming now. It's nothing compared to what we used to get paid. And so, but the Hollywood is actually benefiting from the strike, because Hollywood doesn't have to pay anybody, and they got stuff, they got, you know, backup, you know, for a while, for, so they'll be able to just do this for a long time without having to pay anybody and just use their backup. So they're good to go. But the writers are, I mean, legitimately are saying we can't feed ourselves. Now we have to get two different jobs to do what we love to do. Now it's not a job anymore. It's more like a hobby or extra job, because I have to get something that's more stable, because getting paid through streaming is just a joke compared to what we used to get paid. And so right. But I see it's not just affecting, now it's moved into the movie industry. So I'm thinking, because it's moved into that industry, that maybe they will make the streaming companies pay more, which they should, because they're basically streaming our stuff to make money. You know, they just playing our music and making money off of it. So they should pay us more to play them. And then if you want to charge more to your the people that you're selling these to, then you do that. But we are not happy as writers. We're not happy. We are not happy. But I'm so glad that it's finally impacted the industry, the movie industry, because they get there a little louder than we are. I don't know why that is, because we just seem to be like at the bottom of the bucket or something. The writers, songwriters, you know, it's just like, what's going on here? But you always want to have these big award shows about, but you don't want to pay us. That's not right. So anyway, I'm in support of the writers out there. I pray that they get what they deserve, at least what they're used to. But I pray that they get what they deserve on top of it and stuff. And I hope that we could get our just due as well, songwriters and stuff. Also, Ed Sheeran won the case against the Marvin Gaye estate. So he did not have to retire. He said he was going to retire if he lost the case, which is, you know, I'm like, well, I never believe these young guys talk about retiring anyway. They just say it and then they go away for a couple of days and they come back. So I don't believe that. But you know, it is, when I listen to the songs, they're similar, but it's really hard for anyone to be able to say if someone stole something versus if they were influenced. You know, I mean, we are all here to learn from each other, and I hear many songs that sound like other songs on the radio, but I don't see people suing them. And so, but that Ed Sheeran song is very close to the Marvin Gaye song. But you have to, you know, it's only so many. We only have, you know, 12 notes on the keyboard. So you've got to allow people to do what they do. And you can't be accusatory every single time someone does something, you know. So I'm happy in a way that he won, because we got to stop this. Every time somebody writes something that sounds a little bit like this, just because you wrote something, people could have the same thoughts. They could wake up with the same, I want a song that feels like this, you know. And another person on the whole other side of the world could be thinking the same thing, and whoever does it first. It don't mean that the other one stole from them. They were just feeling the same kind of groove. So anyway, that's pretty much it, my thoughts on that. You have any thoughts you want to share?
I guess since the last time we had talked about it, and of course we had talked about this on the phone a couple of times, and you know, it's those conversations you have that are not on air, but it gets very lengthy and we dissect everything. But you know, But to kind of give the cliff notes of it, you know, hey, I'm kind of on the fence a little bit on that, because it's like, what determines, you know, what determines a song, you know, what's, you know, I guess the whole thing is, what is the difference between, and again, we can answer that at a later date, but it's just something to kind of ponder on for the listeners. What's the difference between, hold on, what's the difference between understanding and being inspired by a song, using certain chord progressions for you know, inspiration versus just flat out stealing? And I guess that's up to the courts. That's up to, you know, the juries and whatnot to decide that. But, you know, how do we cross that fine line? And, you know, will, you know, all of this litigation help or hurt the music industry when it comes to being inspired and using that creative flow to, you know, be drawn off a certain song? And to me, it's been done for generations. Now, because there is a court, there is court behind it, there's litigation behind that, it seems like it's kind of stifling that creativity, in my opinion. But again, you know, it's all subjective at the end of the day.
Yes. So, and when we talked about that court thing and the jury, now these people do not have professional music ears to be able to tell you what they're telling you. And that's the problem. They are just people that, random people that are pulled out of the street asking you to come and listen to this argument. Now, they can be intelligent in terms of, you know, sonically intelligent. They can maybe hear the difference between this and that. But when it comes down to the specifics and you're breaking down chords and you know, and saying that this was 7 bars versus 8 bars, and you know, I mean, they weren't taught that way. They weren't developed that way. That's not what they know. So, but you're trusting these people that you just pulled in off the street to make a decision as to if this musician, she copied off of this musician or not. That's a tough question to be asking people to do that. You know, and then for me to believe that. So, but let me, I'm going to do something else that's even more detailed. I'm going to play a song that I wrote, and then I'm going to play another song that Today wrote, and I'm going to play both of the versions up to the chorus and let you hear it. And then I want you guys to tell me, you know. yeah, so I want you guys to tell me, do you hear what we're talking about? Okay? Okay, wait, that's not my song. That's not the song. All right, here it is right here. All right, so. Listen to this. The chorus is what we're talking about. We'll be right back. Okay. So now I apologize. Don said I put the long version on. I apologize. I went in his stash. So that's another generation. As a matter of fact, that's Don's generation, right? And so that's right up in Don's. Now the first song I played was from my generation, right? And that was Carrie Lucas, "Show Me Where You Coming From." So show me where you coming from, baby. And then the next generation, 10, 15 years later, today comes out with, "Girl, I Got My Eyes on You, baby." That's a straight rip. It's a straight rip, right? And so do you?
You know what? I love you, but I love you, brother. I don't know, man. It's inspiring. I don't know if you say, "Oh, they ripped us off from this, or they ripped it from us," or
So the difference is, when you are emotionally attached to something, and then somebody, and then when someone copies it, you feel it more than the person that's just watching it from across the street, because they're not tripping, but you know, I'm like, wait a minute, that's my song. And so it was such a rip for us that Dick Griffey got in touch with a Motown and said, "You just stole our song, sir." And so they had to get them to, they took it off because they realized it really was the same melody. Not only was it the same melody, but they used the same words at the very same spot, which was baby, the same exact thing. So, but I believe that Teddy Riley could have just heard it subliminally. And when he woke up, you know, just like he thought he wrote it. There's no one to say, "Oh, no, you heard that you heard that before somewhere." He's a creative person. And so if he hears something, he's going with it. "Oh, that feels good." Sometimes we don't know that we heard that someplace else.
Right.
And so sometimes people have to pull our chains and tell us, "Hey, dude, you heard that someplace. That's where it came." "Oh, thank you. I'm so glad." And so we had to do that on our last project we were working on. And it was like, no, you can't do that. That sounds just like this guy or that. So we had to pull out. Sometimes you just, if you're not paying attention, or if you don't have people around you that's telling you, "Hey, that sounds too much like," you know, then you just go with it because it feels good. It doesn't make you a bad person or guilty or wrong. But if somebody takes you in court and they sue you for it, you know, then, you know, you have to deal with the consequences. So Ed Sheeran, you know, to me, when I listen to both of those songs, you take his voice out, that chord progression is exactly the same as Marvin Gaye. It sounds the same. But I don't think that Ed Sheeran actually ripped the song up. I think he just liked that vibe, and he wrote something to sound like that and sang to it. It sounds like a complete different song when you hear it by itself. Now, if it sounds just like Marvin Gaye's song when he's singing it, then that's different. But if he's not singing it, you can hear the chords kind of are similar, you know, progression.
Oh.
And the tempo is kind of the same, but when he's singing it, it just sounds like he's in a whole nother element, a whole nother world. He's not even thinking about the Marvin Gaye song. So I don't know if he intentionally did that or not. Nobody can say if someone intentionally did something like that or not. You can't say it, but you can go to court and then have people that don't know either say yes or no. And so it's a gamble taking people to court and seeing if you can win. That's sad, because you can destroy somebody, you know, by doing that. So anyway, it's a catch-22, man. And so anyway, so that was it. We got 13 minutes left in the show. So we're going to do drummers. We're going to do players, thanks to Don Fleming. And then I'll let Don pick out the next two. You want to do keyboards or whatever, you know. There's a lot of drummers that play on a lot of same songs. Like I had last week on the show, Raymond Lee, what's his last name? Pounds. Raymond Lee Pounds was on, and my goodness gracious, he played on the Stevie Wonder albums. He played on James Brown albums. He played on the Whispers album. He played on Carrie Lucas album. And I was like, dude, I've been a fan of yours for all, and didn't even know. And so I was so grateful, man, so grateful that he came on to bless us and stuff. And he's coming back on to tell us about his recording with James Brown.
Yeah, can't wait.
Next Wednesday. So he'll be here. He was coming this Wednesday, but I was so sick, we canceled it until next week. So, but anyway, that's it. Thanks, Don, for the idea. And what else, Don? What's on your heart?
No, I think it's privy to the conversation we had earlier about, you know, the drawing inspiration, ripping, whatever, you know, things like that. At the end of the day, it's just how you feel. I will concede to your point on that. I just feel, to me, you know, the threat of any type of you know, legal, any type of litigations or anything like that, to me, in some instances, may scare off that creativity. And that's one of the beauties of music, is having that creative flow to be inspired by something. You never know. You think about the Rolling Stones. You think about the group, the Rolling Stones. You know, their name was inspired by Muddy Waters, you know, one of his songs. You know, and when you think about Led Zeppelin and a lot of the, I think Jimmy Page's guitar riffs, I mean, stem from those old Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, all of those old blues artists that inspired these rock legends in the late 60s and early 70s. So again, we can go into the history of that at another time, but again, it's a slippery slope at the end of the day. And at the same time, having said that, it's how you felt at the time. Dick Griffey called Motown and said, "Hey, y'all gonna have to cease this song for, you know, this is what happened here, and this is how we feel." And Motown did it, you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, who's going to be that next Dick Griffey that's going to call and say, "Hey, this song this and this song this," you know. Again, slippery slope. But, you know, we cross that bridge when we get there.
All right. Well, my brother. Well said, my brother. Okay, guys, so listen, we'll be back next week. just wanted to. Today was an important show that I just wanted to do, but I could still, you know, my throat is hurting, burning a little bit, strange, and so I'm checking my cough syrup that they gave me. I decided that I better start taking it. I get tired of taking drugs, man. I don't want to put all these drugs in my body, but anyway, so I'm taking a cough syrup now and then. But anyway, we will be back next week, and so we look forward to that. Don't forget, tune in next Wednesday for sure for our interview that we're going to have with Raymond Lee Pounds. You're going to really, really love him. He's a good man. He's been around the block. And so, he's my senior. He's like, I think he's 77. But he's two years younger than Stevie Wonder. And him and Stevie were real close. And, wow, that's the story that he tells me about Stevie Wonder is just amazing. That's in our archives. You could go back and just look for Raymond Pounds in our archives. Not too long, just last weekend, last Wednesday. But it's still on our Facebook page, as a matter of fact. And just listen to some of the details of the stories that he shared. I'm like, man, ooh, how cool is that? I was just a kid still in Philadelphia when he was doing all that stuff. So, All right, we're up and out of here. I hear my song in the background.
talk about it a little bit while it's playing.
Okay, he's playing Glenn Jones in the back end. There's a song I wrote for Glenn Jones. Called
off the Finesse album.
Off the Finesse album called It Hurts Too Much. And so with that being said, I guess we're up and out of here. And you guys have a blessed rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Solar Records Radio. All right, Don.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. It's the Solar Wants to Dance. I'm a fill in for Wardell, hang out, and hopefully he'll
Amen.
Call in and do what he does. So, but yeah, we're going to check it out.
All right, cool.
Until then, you guys have a safe Friday. Of course, again, we're celebrating the weekend. So celebrate it in Solar style. Do it without us. We'll see you tomorrow. 2 p.m. Eastern. Have a good one, guys.
Bye. 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. 2 p.m. Eastern.